All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 929 FM ESPN. Rolling right on out of June, end of July, this last day of June here. Going to represent the first day of NBA free agency. That's right. NBA free agency officially gets underway today, 5 p.m. Central. Ready to rock. How will the Grizzlies maneuver this portion of the offseason? Can they renegotiate and extend one Jaren Jackson Jr.? John, can they re-sign Santi Aldama? Can they get a center? Help out while Zach Edey is down. Maybe you just do that with what you have. Can you shed Cole Anthony's contract? There's reportedly news about that over the weekend. We'll see. Man, rumor more, and maybe news. A lot going on, especially all over the rest of the league. Already some news in terms of happenings. Guys getting raises, including one James Harden. How about that? Minnesota's going big. They're locking in on their big guys. A lot to do, a lot to discuss. DeAndre Ayton's available. Will the Lakers scoop him up? Bought out by Portland, or at least expected to happen. A lot to discuss in NBA free agency. Malik Beasley's got his own business to tend to, and apparently it might be holding up his deal that would have been coming from Detroit. A three-year offer, perhaps, that's being held up right now for something unique to him that occurred a couple of seasons ago, it looks like. It's not even this past season. And then a big trade in the NFL. John, we have a lot to do, as we usually do on a Monday. How are you, and how was your weekend?
Doing great. And there was also some Grizzlies coaching news that Jeff Goodman broke about 20 minutes ago. Penny is joining the Memphis Grizzlies coaching staff, but the Brian Penny Collins ilk from Tennessee State. Not Penny Hardaway. So he is joining the Grizzlies as an assistant coach, Brian Penny Collins. And how about this? The interim, a man we know and love. Mitchell product, Eric Bugs.
Good.
How about that?
It's fantastic.
How about that? George, can we get a round of applause for the Mitchell product? He actually started at White Station.
I was going to say, Bugs spent time at our alma mater.
But he did leave and graduate ultimately.
You know, Wynn State at Mitchell, too?
I believe he did.
So.
Then he went to Valpo.
Well, they made a run. Yeah.
I really had your ass with the Penny news.
I think you had all of Memphis, John.
But he is Penny, though. Like, if Goodman really wanted to start, he would have said Penny joining the Grizzlies. No, not that Penny. Brian Penny Collins. So, an interesting development. I mean, that's a college coach joining Tuamas Isolo's staff. I'm wondering what the connection is there.
Encouraging.
Yeah, maybe I'll have to do a little digging on what the idea here is.
Well, okay. Hopefully, we're going to get some experienced guys as well. Is that how far are we along in the naming of all of his assistants?
I don't think we know.
It doesn't feel like we have a.
This
full
might be
staff
the first
behind.
Official
okay,
hire
okay. Just,
that I've seen. Okay. You know, I mean, he's probably retaining some guys. I would imagine
has
but
to be.
This is definitely. Okay. The first report that I have seen. Don't worry, it's not Penny. When Penny Hardaway joins the Grizzlies coaching staff, folks, it will be to be the head man. All right, it will not be to be the assistant. We know how he gets down. Mm-hmm. He don't do the assistant thing, right?
Not gonna work for Tubby. I know that.
That's right. So anyway, lots to get to on the show today. Like Jason mentioned, free agency going to be in full swing a little bit later today. And you know what are the Grizzlies going to do? They've got a couple of things to take care of. So. We'll see just how much they address in free agency. Big show today. Drew Hill is going to join us at 11:25.
Excellent.
Memphis Grizzlies basketball beat writer, lead reporter, I should say. Beat writer is not really the title anymore. Lead reporter on the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. So he will join us at 11:25. He also did tell us, I don't know if it was on the air or off the air, you know, all the stuff blends together, but he did tell us in the midst of that finals that some Thunder players were going to undergo surgery after the finals was over, and we got our first news on that. Jalen Williams is undergoing surgery on his thumb,
mm-hmm.
on a ligament there. So,
who's the other guy?
Right in wrist, I should say. Sorry.
Is it Chet? Who else is going to?
It was Chet, and then maybe Kaysen.
Okay.
Is who was mentioned. So we'll see. But yeah, so right wrist ligament surgery for Jalen Williams. Played through it for the entire postseason.
Huh?
Pretty impressive.
Very.
Pretty impressive.
So he had a 40 burger at some point, too, on that thing.
He did.
And after a bad series against Denver.
That's right. So, anyway, Drew Hill will join us. We'll get his thoughts on the Grizzlies, what they're doing in free agency, and just sort of how he sees this all playing out for them next season. do that with him at 11:25. Then at 1:25, Jeff Calkins is going to be nice enough to join us. He's actually not doing radio this week. He's going up to Michigan doing the vacation thing.
Heard him on the road in the opening
set. Yes. So, but he's going to be nice enough to join us today as his usual regular hit, and we appreciate
that.
And we look forward to chatting with him at 1:25. So that is the show today. Looking forward to it. But yes, in terms of the comings and goings, transactional development yesterday with the Memphis Grizzlies that was largely expected. Santi Aldama, they tendered his rights. And the report from Mark Stein, by the way, Jason, is that they intend to match any offer on him.
Oh, yeah. I think Zach Lyman's made it pretty clear they want to retain him. This, I mean, saw it too from Hoops Height. What was it? Michael Scotto said extended the 1 year, $5.94 million qualifying offer. Heard George, who we've got, in
shout
place
out to
of
George,
Brad Carson.
Man.
Shout out to yourself,
Iron
George.
Man.
Give yourself a round of applause. Heard you guys talking about it this morning. It's just the first step. It's the first step towards retaining him and expecting that the Grizzlies will be looking to match whatever offer Santi gets. And you have to imagine there is going to be some interest. Now, again, and Harrington talked about this. End of season? You know, did we feel like we felt earlier in the year about Santi? More importantly, how's the front office feel? In terms of where you're willing to go, right? Could you get priced out of this thing is what I'm saying. Reach a point where you're saying, And especially as you try to, right, renegotiate and extend Jaren Jackson Jr., maybe so. Because at the end, remember, Santi, was he playing physically enough defensively?
Mm-hmm.
Is he one of your dogs?
Right.
You know, he did average over 6 rebounds, which on this team, by the way,
it's pretty damn good.
You kind of need that, particularly with Jaren Jackson Jr., how committed you are to him. We just talked about the renegotiating and extend. Will be interesting to see how it plays out for Santi and what that interest level looks like. But, yes, right now, Grizzlies doing what they have to do, taking that first step towards retaining him. We'll see where the money goes.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up. Like the perception of him.
Didn't it change a little bit?
It definitely did.
Harrington addressed that, and I sort of thought the same thing.
I mean, I remember having a conversation with an NBA person after the first 2 weeks of the season saying that there's no way they could let this guy walk.
Right.
And then
Bane's calling him out toward the end of the year, and
right.
We kind of talked about it and sort of leaned towards Bane that was more about, hey, you got to play more physical. Hey, you got to rebound. You got to play defense. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it is Bane who's challenged in some ways himself defensively, clearly, and is gone now. But the point being, it was Santi. Right? You know, are you playing physical enough? So to John's point, felt like we went from one point, oh, man, you can't let this guy go. What could he blossom into? He could
right.
be a walking double-double.
Absolutely.
So it wasn't that towards the end of the season. That said, clearly, there's been a value with Santi. He's been here the whole time. You've watched him grow, and, you know, maybe he still does become. You can use all the front court help you could get, particularly when you're on a team that's got Jaren Jackson Jr. on it from a rebounding standpoint. I don't know, but 6 rebounds might be Santi.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is there's probably a limit to how high you'll go here with the priority being Jaren Jackson Jr.
Right.
And, I mean, in money.
Right.
I mean, that's what they've shown us is they want to get down and,
exactly.
and off of it, off of
exactly.
the tax.
Yes. Yes. Like, and look, this is the way that NBA teams have to do things now, right? 2 stars, you know, you have 2 stars and the rest of it, I don't want to call it makeshift, but obviously you have to manage your money in a very different way to avoid that second apron. I just think the question with the Grizzlies here is like, this is what they're doubling down on. They're doubling down on John Jaren as their 2 stars, and that's the way it is. And I just think the question is, with Jaren as your second star, what does that mean? Like, where does that really get you? I mean, I think that's, you know, I don't know how much better he's going to get.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's still, you know, relatively young, but I don't know how much room there is for him. Is he going to become a 28-point-a-night scorer? No, he's not going to be that. And I think the other question here is, and this is just sort of taking a longer view of what the Grizzlies are doing, which is like they're just clearing everything out so they could pay Jaren the extension, get that done, and it's Ja and Jaren, and that's what it is. And you hope maybe Coward steps in and becomes something, and you hope that Zach Edey continues to improve and stay on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
On a favorable contract for the next 3 years. Jaren averages for his career 15.7 points a game in the playoffs, shooting 33.1% in the playoffs. And what they say is that you are who you really are in the playoffs. Like, whatever you do there is who you really are. And Ja is a riser in the playoffs. If you go look at what I know he has availability issues. He has left series. But when he is out there, it's undeniable. He's like 28-7-6, bro. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
When Jaren's out there, it's very mediocre. It's 15-6 and on 33% shooting. So I think that's just kind of where I am on this Grizzlies blueprint, Jason. It's like, I get what they're doing and I get what they're saying. I just don't know if it's going to be good enough.
But you and I agree that the three had reached the end of the road.
It had.
And you agree.
That wasn't good enough either.
We had talked it through, and of the three,
yep,
we've sort of said Bane's the one. Well, I'm saying that not to say that we committed to this. You and I were like,
Right.
Because we've discussed Jaren, how he's not.
Exactly.
It's not even you're looking for a perfect player. There's a serious flaw there. It's part of the reason you're so committed to Zach Edey. Now, again, yep. Zach Edey's got things for Ja Morant that the Grizzlies need. But there's such a need for that guy, right, that burly center that's going to rebound. And, but my point is we're kind of committed to it. It feels like of us.
No, whether it's pocket middle now.
We've said this is what he is. You and I were talking, how's this dude getting bodied by Caruso? I mean, exactly. we were openly criticizing him. Exactly. But then at the same time, knowing this is probably where you're at, you know? I mean, saying that this is the way it's got to go. Here's the deal. This is a unique challenge for him, John, that it feels like to me. Is right now you're not better, post Desmond Bane trade. Right now. Now, again, could you get there with Coward? I've got high hopes for him. Maybe so. How do you sell tickets?
Yeah.
Right now, when it's really just the business. I'm saying this as we open free agency.
Yep.
And everybody's excited. Hey, what they going to add? You know, what's this next phase of the Grizzlies look like? I want to go. How are we going to go out there this season? You know, it's usually a time where you're getting folks bought in, right, with some of your moves and everything else. And it feels like because you've got to take care of John so much of the business at home, Jaren, who we've talked about, back and forth. Hey, man, when is he even doing the playoff? You're here. Santi, those in-house things that you've got to take care of, and it's pretty much the business.
Yep.
Right? Can you go out and still get another center? Maybe. But these are minor fringe things.
The room exception.
Bro, this is what you are, bro.
Yeah.
This is what you are. How do you sell tickets and get people excited about this when you've taken Desmond Bane, who, oh, by the way, was a community guy. A lot of people used to, go down there. Maybe they'd moved off job. Bane's the guy that's in the lineup. A lot of people, Grizzlies fans, I'm not telling you there's thousands of them.
Right.
But Bane was a guy that plenty of folks that bought tickets loved. You're a minus right now on that. So my point is that how do you sell future, right? How do you sell excitement? Because you can't keep doing this, John. Hey, we're getting back to grit and grind. Boy, have you been around that block and spun it a million times.
Absolutely.
How do you get people excited? You know what it really has to be? It has to be trying to find a new way to win. That's what I'm getting to with this. And hoping that people buy in. And this trying to find a new way to win is, listen, you were stuck in a formula with Bane and Ja and Jaren. It was one way. You needed that center in the middle. Defensively, the three-man had to be a stalwart, right? It had to work one way. Now you have to go back around, and Kleiman's admitted this offseason. They've had to reassess.
Yep.
You're not giving up Ja and Jaren. So you have to reassess, find new ways to win around those two guys. That's what we're in the middle of. It's not very sexy.
Yep. No, it's
not going to be sexy as these other teams.
Right.
You know, change a little bit. West gets stronger as it typically
Houston's
does.
Houston's going to get Dorian Finney-Smith.
Bro, I mean, what Houston's doing.
And
Dorian Finney-Smith going to have some suitors, I would think, because there's some other teams that could use him, I would think, after opting out. My point being, there's going to be sexier stuff going on elsewhere. Bro, the challenge for the Grizzlies is how do you get people excited about this, get people bought back in? Because in the end, John, it's still a product. We can talk about, hey, roster moves, they got to do this, stay off the tax, this, what the, but you also have to sell it. And you're trying to sell it with the same two guys, right? Mm-hmm. John, Jaren.
Mm-hmm.
And really, this is what you need, John. You need to find other ways to win. Maybe that's Coward becoming a star eventually.
It's a big leap.
You know?
It's a big leap.
And it's part of the reason why they moved up. Said we might as well. You know what's not going to sell butts in seats? P.J. Washington. And a quick fix like that.
Yeah.
Jason saying all these veterans that ain't going to get us a title, right? All of us that have said, we'll go the veteran route. Put something around Ja so he doesn't ask for a trade when this thing goes off the rails next year. Oh, no, you're not going that path.
Right.
P.J. Washington doesn't put butts in seats and renew hope around here.
That is true.
They need guys like Cedric. They need Coward. They really do to pan out
to
and be a star.
To be great.
And maybe be the future.
Yes. They need to be great.
If you decide, because there is this future too, John. Ja Morant don't ever get on the court where he's playing consistently, and you decide you have to move on from that. Now, God forbid, we've talked about the superstar potential in this town, how much it means, but you could be looking at that future. You have to consider it.
Yep.
And maybe, you know what wasn't talked about a ton, he's eligible for, is his extension.
Yep.
Doesn't seem like right now.
There has not been a lot of buzz about that.
Because you got to get Jaren in, right, and you got to see what's going to happen with Santi. And so, you know, maybe that's set to the side to that point. Hey, Ja. You know, Harrington was talking about this this morning, too. When we've said it, this it wasn't new. Biggest roster move and thing that needs to happen next year really is that you got to have your main guy in there for 60-plus. Let's be real. I mean, that's what's got to – none of this rest of this stuff's going to matter unless Ja's out there. Hopefully he's doing that. That's helping you sell tickets. But, too, John, you've got to find new ways to win. They're committed to doing that. They had to back off the old formula. It wasn't working. Look at what it led to last year.
Right.
Absolute debacle of just a falling apart. You lost your defensive identity. You're trying to hand it over to a new coach.
Yep.
You know, you've got to – again, nothing about this conversation is particularly fun.
Right.
But it's all got to happen. You've got to find new ways to win as you try to get people re-energized about where you're going.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like you're going to get there anytime soon.
Yeah.
That's the other part about it.
No,
this is a new window, right?
Yeah.
How long do we operate on, got to get something done in the 2 years that you got Jaren Jackson Jr. left on this contract?
Right.
Right? That window. Well, that one's done because you're about to re-up him. And now we'll see what this new 2 to 3 year window looks like, which is really the rest of Ja until you extend him.
Yeah, it just like the financial like
not
the
fun.
Yeah, you're just sort of doing financial housekeeping to basically double down on what you already had. You know, yeah, you're reconfiguring some of the parts around it, but it's like this is they feel and it's like their best way and their best chance to win still may not be nearly enough, and I think that's a hard conversation to have. But we talk about they can't tank in Memphis, not right now.
Mm-hmm.
They can't. So politically, economically, this is what you just get. I don't know if it's a playoff team. I don't know I would bet heavily against it being a top four seed or anything like that. If it's like a play-in team,
don't you feel good about it being a playoff team so long as Ja's out there 60 plus
for sure.
Okay.
Big.
Well, we can start there.
Assumption, but yes.
Well,
you know, need
that's
that.
That's what this offseason got to be about for him.
Yeah, you need that. I mean, but he's got to play 65 games. You know, I mean,
if you're not going to have a superstar that can't get there, John, we can't get there.
Right.
And eventually, you have to start talking about moving off that.
Yeah.
If we're just going to accept that as a reality that he's never going to play 60 and this is just what it is,
yeah,
then, brother, you're just putting off the inevitable.
Because they can't win. They can't make the playoffs if he's only playing 50 games.
Come on now.
I don't think.
No, it's too much pressure on everybody else. And now you're down one of the key guys that used to step up in the time that Ja was out. Who's that? Desmond Bain, guys.
Right.
He was one of your key guys when Ja was out. And by the way, that's been a lot.
Yep.
So, no. It's non-negotiable that Ja has to take it to the next level. There has to be a franchise challenge to him, an organizational challenge to him.
Yep.
That, bro, the league just passed us by, particularly at the league guard spot last year. Like, we need you back in it. We need you back in the fight every night.
Yep. Yep. Nah, I mean, it's like you look back at Ja in that 21-22 season, bro, and I know he didn't play the full 60 or whatever, but, I mean, he finished 7th in MVP voting. He was the most improved player. He's an all-star.
I'm not even asking for 65, which we should be, so he could just like CBA. We're asking for 60-plus.
Yep.
And saying maybe that's just the reality of Ja Morant. If he's not going to change his game, you know, whatever it is, fine-tune it, use more mid-range pull-ups, more. I mean, you got guys 6'6 using the mid-range game more than Ja does, and that's SGA. Jalen Williams, 6'5, 6'6 using it. We saw him use it during the run. Old men like CP3 have used it to prolong their careers. You got to do it.
Yep.
I hate this because it sounds like whining, and it's something we've just come to accept. This part's just not going to change. We've said it over and over. It has to. Ja even joked about it last year. I'm not going to dunk anymore. And the end of it, we're out because of him trying to dunk one over Dort.
Yep.
It's going to have to change if this thing's ever going to. Doesn't matter. The rest of these changes, what happens in free agency, not going to matter if Ja Morant's not out there.
100%.
So that's. And Ja Morant knows that.
Absolutely.
He knows that.
Well, anyway, we'll get Drew Hill's thoughts on it in terms of, you know, what he expects, room exception, Santi, what's going on in the West, Brian, Penny Collins on staff, all that and more with Drew Hill when we get back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Drew Hill, lead Grizzlies reporter for the Daily Memphian, joins us usually on Thursdays, but we have America's birthday coming up on was it Friday? But we need Thursday to prepare. So he's joining us today. Drew, Penny to the Grizzlies. That's big news.
Yeah, yeah. Different kind of Penny, but yeah, Penny to the Grizzlies. Glad we were able to tease it that way.
First of all, do you think he needs to retire being called Penny? I think in Memphis he can't go by that anymore. I think he's going to have to go by his government name.
I mean, if that's your name, that's your name. How many Johns are there in Memphis? And I don't see, you know, them wanting to give the title to you.
You can't compare John to Penny. John is like the most common name in the world, in the history of the world, biblically speaking. Penny is like one of one in Memphis, bro. From here on out, he is Brian Collins.
with all due respect to Penny, the Hardaway version, I think Penny can go by Penny. You know, there's more Pennies in the city of Memphis. There's probably people that name their kids Penny because of Penny Hardaway. You know, I mean, that's possible.
All right, so. Well, we're going to have to get a ruling on this officially from somebody. I don't like yours. I'll tell you that right now. I don't like it.
It's a hire that makes sense. Teammate of Isolo in Finland. And, yeah, they're going to work to fill out the staff. I don't know yet where he will be in terms of front of bench, back of bench. But they're working to finalize the assistant hires here soon because they're getting ready to go to summer league. And Isolo is going to coach, which – was, I guess, a little bit of news out of the presser, but I think that had been floated around for quite a while now.
Yeah.
But I think that's good news because, you know, we're going to be missing Edie at Summer League. So, you know, we are going to have some stories to follow. Like, I think it's still very much TBD to see if Cedric Coward's going to play. I imagine he'll be very limited if he does. And I wouldn't bank on it. And then, you know, we'll have two other rookies to follow. We're going to have some local flavor, is my understanding. And then in terms of just, like, the players on the roster and maybe even some fun players on the roster. Don't want to go too far. Can't go too far. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting, and it'll be fun to at least get to know Tomas a little bit more since we didn't spend that much time with him at the end of the year.
All right. So, yeah, let's talk about Summer League. It's my favorite topic. I'll be out there for a couple of games. Don't know, you know, how much I'll see of the Grizzlies, but Cedric Coward has not been cleared. They haven't ruled him out, but as Harrington eloquently put it on with Jeffrey earlier today, they haven't ruled him in either. Is your just personal expectations that we will not see a preview of Cedric Coward in Summer League? Is that just your default setting right now?
Yeah, that's my default setting. To be honest with you, when they drafted him, you know, we're not quite as worried about Summer League. We're more worried about who the heck they're getting and, like, what's his background and all that stuff. But I do know in terms of the surgery that he had, it was pretty serious. It was not just a labrum, but also rotator cuff. So that sets you back quite a while, and you don't really want to push that in the name of Summer League when you've got a whole season and a preseason. So, again, they haven't ruled him out, but until they say he's playing, I'm just going to assume he's not. And it wouldn't make sense really to run him out there for every single game. So we will see what happens. But if the guy isn't playing contact basketball right now and he hasn't been cleared for that, you know, Summer League is literally starting later in the week. So, you know, it feels like it's probably unlikely.
Obviously, free agency officially starts later on, I think 5 p.m. Central. In terms of Memphis and first things we could see, and you tell me, Drew, is listening a little bit to Harrington, have read a lot of you. Has this changed in the fact that you use the first round pick, right, that you get from Orlando, and you increase salary by moving up in terms of the pick and moving up from 16, have we now moved into Cole Anthony has got to go to get that salary to help into this that kind of territory as opposed to just John Conchar? We've got to move on from Cole Anthony's salary to get that renegotiation extend, Jaren, in terms of things we could see and how they might play into trying to get this deal done with Jaren. What are you expecting?
Yeah, so I do think we're kind of in that range. I think the calculus has changed a little bit since the draft. You know, we spent a lot of time talking about adding veterans and that sort of thing.
Yep.
Honestly, they went young and they went for the higher ceiling, which again, I don't mind. I think it was, it has potential for a bigger reward if Cedric Howard really hits. And over the last 10 years, the Grizzlies have drafted more players that have become either all-stars or been voted on all rookie teams than any other team in the league. So they've done a really good job with that. So I trust them in the draft. But in terms of what they need to do now and looking forward, I think, yeah, you're going to have to get off of maybe both of the Conchar and the Huff deals. That will get you close-ish. It really depends on how much you need to clear for Jaren to agree to. And then the other option, the option that seems more likely, is to try to get off of the Cole Anthony deal. And I think if you were listening to Zach Kleiman and his answers after or at the introductory press conferences, it didn't seem exactly like the commitment to Cole was the same as Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, right? I think that is the next step. I don't know if they're going to be able to do it. Now, the thing is that there is the option that no one is going to like, but the option that is there is to waive and stretch.
Stretch him.
And in that sense, you're going to be saving your $9 million right there because you're going to be paying him a little over $4 million, I think, over the next three seasons. And that is dead money, and that sucks to have. No one ever wants to have dead money. So the option that everyone would like better is to trade him. Now, what are you going to have to do to get him off the roster to a team that's going to take him on because they have cap space? Well, there's not a lot of options. There's not a lot of teams out there.
Right.
You know, Brooklyn's the team right now that has the most. But, you know, what will it cost to get him, you know, off the team and somewhere else? And is it going to be like something that you're comfortable with giving up? Like, I don't know. Like, they probably weren't going to attach a first round pick to Conchar. It didn't feel like they were going to do that to get rid of a $6 million salary. But now that salary is around 13, you know, maybe you do have to get a little bit more to get it gone. So, there are options available for the Grizzlies. The calculus has changed a little bit. I'm not expecting a ton of different things to happen, but we could see, you know, more trades. That's certainly possible. And then the things to watch is just like the Jaren extension and for Santi to get re-signed through restricted free agency. I think that those are the two things. And in terms of what's most likely to come today, you know, I think the order of these things doesn't necessarily how do I explain this? The order of things that could happen for the Grizzlies this offseason is not the order in which things may end up getting reported, because if we're looking around the league and we're watching what Shams is putting out there all the time, Michael Scotto, it's like, you know, so-and-so intends to sign, right. So-and-so intends to sign, whatever. Like, it's possible that the Grizzlies could work through this, figure out what they're going to do, and say, all right, you know what, like, we're in a good place. We think Jaren's going to sign this. And then that comes out, and then they make the move. So there's no telling what's going to come first in terms of the Grizzlies. But if I were to guess, I would say the Santi stuff. Like, those teams, you know, they can begin negotiating, you know, once the free agency opens. But we all know that those sort of conversations happen over the course of the year. And it seems like both the Grizzlies want to get Santi back, and Santi would like to stay if you listen to his exit interviews. And so the fact that they're aligned on that means they've probably already had those conversations.
So, I mean, look, it feels like what the Grizzlies are doing, at least this season. I mean, I think, you know, it remains to be seen if what's true this season will be true next. But what seems to be true this season is that they're saying, hey, these are our two stars, Ja and Jaren, we're building around them. And this is what we are. And, I mean, look, a lot of other teams are doing that, too. A lot of other teams are having to make calculations like that. I mean, we're seeing what Boston is doing. You know, they got to send guys out. They got to shed some salary. But I guess I would ask, like, where does this get you? Where does a team led by Ja and Jaren, where does it, like, realistically get you?
I don't foresee a scenario in which the Grizzlies are going to be, like, adding roster pieces that's going to make you feel like they're at the same level of Houston or OKC. Like, I don't think that's going to happen. I think the way that they get there is through internal improvement. Jalen Wells gets better. Zach Edey gets better. They both have good seasons. You know, Cedric Coward is a hit, and he has a really good season. And you're walking away saying, uh-oh, the Grizzlies might have found another star. Like, that's the way that the Grizzlies get there at this point. And it was a recalculation, right? And it was an honest assessment from Kleiman, who said, like, we took a step back and we said, we're still not one player away. Like, and so, you know, adding a veteran piece may have brought them a little bit closer, but it probably isn't going to push them over the hump. So what did they do? They said, all right, well, our way to get there is probably through the draft, where we have the best chance to land the highest ceiling player, and we're going to identify who we think that is, and we're going to go get them. And that's what they did. If you wanted to walk out of the summer saying, all right, the Grizzlies are closer to OKC and Houston, that's not what you're going to do. But at least you're going to be able to walk away from this summer and say, all right, well, if things go well, they could end up being that good, right? If you're assuming more risk, right, in this scenario, you're setting the ceiling higher while also putting the floor lower, for sure. And I think that was the pathway that the team chose to make. And whether that's right or wrong, I think, is to be determined based on the results. But I don't see a scenario, I don't know about you guys, where you're going to feel better about the team going into next year in terms of how close they are to OKC than you did at the end of the last year. You just don't have Desmond Bane anymore. Maybe that'll change over the course of the season when we get to see the development of some of those guys. But this was definitely a move that to some people may not be popular, but I do think is true, gives you the opportunity to have a higher ceiling in the end.
Yeah, what it feels like is, whether we like it or not, it's a moving of you tell me whether this is wrong, Drew, but it's a moving of the goalposts, and maybe we don't, you know, John and I don't like it, because we've been using the, you're in a 2-year window, right, that you've got Jaren Jackson Jr., so you've got to go all in this window. And it feels like what we're trying to get to is, when you get Jaren renegotiated and extended, is this new window, right? And you tell me what the years are. I mean, frankly, it's Ja and the three that he has left, right, if we're talking that. And it's going to be trying to find this new way, and what the Grizzlies hope is a new window. I mean, is that the right way to look at it? And so for those of us that have been on the fast track, and, oh, you got to get vets because you got to capitalize in this span before Jaren could become a free agent, it's us that have got to sort of adjust the – and I'm using goalposts as kind of the old sports cliche way to say it, but that's kind of what it is, right? They're trying to start a new window on us.
Yeah, no, I think maybe that's fair. The difference is, though, is that this isn't a full rebuild to say,
right,
our new window is now 3 years down the line.
I got you.
This is the opportunity to reset the window maybe 1 year down the line, right? Like, I think that it's different than a complete rebuild, you know? It's just different than that. It opens the door for that to happen, by the way, you know? That's what happens when you accumulate assets and you draft young players, and that's how teams do eventually choose to rebuild. And they did trade away Desmond Bane, so, like, right, I'm not fully shutting that door, but I think that what they want to do is they want to find a way to cook up something that's going to work around Ja and Jaren. They're hoping to commit a lot of money and years to Jaren this summer so that they can get him on a longer deal. We talked about the Ja thing. Like, that's faded out. There's less noise, but it's not impossible that could happen. And yeah, then your window is now extended because you've committed to those two players, mm-hmm. and it's go time to start adding pieces around them. I think that might be accurate. I would be hesitant to say that this is some sort of like complete reset of the window. You know,
maybe no, I hear it's what a you're
small
saying.
Move of the yeah. goalpost, but it's not a full move of the goalpost, if that makes sense.
Well, because like to Jason's point at the beginning of the show, is like they still have. I mean, it is a business, right? I mean, they still have to, you know, sell season tickets. So, I think this is like a move in the spirit of like, all right, let's maintain what we can maintain and pay what we can pay, and you can still sell Ja and Jaren on some level. But it's like, you know, if it tops out, you know, there's an off ramp, right? I mean, there has to be. And I don't know, is there a situation around the NBA, Drew, that feels comparable to the Grizz? Like just kind of where they are in their timeline, you know, that kind of feels similar to you?
Because
it's weird, because it's like the Grizz were on top. Like, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, Milwaukee won a championship and they have right. one of the five best players in the league.
Right.
And now there's no flexibility now. I mean, I would say.
Yeah.
Right? None.
But they are at a little bit of a crossroads in terms of like, hey, look, we've got Giannis, right? As long as we've got Giannis, we have the potential to be a good team. But like, they're moving on from Brook Lopez, it sounds like, you know, and so they have to weigh what they want to do, like, because they haven't been all that competitive the last 2 years in the postseason, and they traded away Chris Middleton, and you know, they're at the point where it's like, okay, what do we do? Do we restructure around Giannis and we give this thing a go to see how good we can be? Or do we just hit full reset and go full reset here? And I don't think that the Grizzlies are anywhere near full reset. I think the Bucks are closer to full reset than the Absolutely. Grizzlies are for sure, based on everything we've heard. But if I'm trying to force one, that's kind of where my head went first.
I'm doing the same thing. And I would say Philly. There's some Philly in the Grizzlies in that they've got this when he's out there, elite player in Joel Embiid. And, you know, they have Tyrese Maxey, obviously, as well. But they're kind of in that purgatory, too, because, like, are we contenders? Should we trade Joel Embiid? Like, do we pay Joel Embiid? Like, what do we do with him? Like, they got to the conference semifinals three times in a row. Like, they've... At times, they have been the darlings of the NBA. And, you know, they won 54 games in 22-23. They lose in seven to the Celtics, obviously, in the semis. And now they're kind of like, all right, they make the move for Paul George. That doesn't work. And it's like, what are they doing now? You know, I kind of see some similarities there in that you get to that level, you know, which is where you want to be, which is in the semifinals, having a chance. And now you're kind of like wondering what's next. You know, I think the 76ers are kind of similar in that way.
Yeah, I can see that a little bit. Yeah, I definitely can see that a little bit. I think that might be better than Milwaukee.
Because they want a title and, like, whatever happens the rest of the way, whatever. Now, how dependent is this future on Cedric Howard's development? Like, is it like they need this young man to be elite early on, or else, you know, this thing could be at risk? I mean, I'm just... How significant is he going to play in all of this?
Some role, but I think in the end it's more on Ja, to be honest with you, because the Grizzlies really seem to have put the ball in his hands and said, you're our guy. Get back to being one of the top 10 players in the NBA. Get back to being on MVP ballots. Like, we restructured the offense to now suit your strengths. You know, we have we traded out Desmond Bain, brought back assets so that we can put a different core around you to try to get you to the next level. Like, let me put it this way. I don't see a scenario in which the Grizzlies are going to go like anywhere near full rebuild if Ja is one of the top 10 players in the NBA. You know, like that's not going to happen. They're going to say, okay, look, we've got a superstar, and he wants to be here, and we got to do everything in our power to get the best team around him. And I think that to me carries more weight than Cedric Howard, because the Grizzlies will still be a competitive team if Ja is that good, you know? And if Cedric Coward comes in and he struggles a little bit to begin his rookie season and the team sputters a little bit, but Ja's playing really well, I don't think the hope for the future is completely broken at that point, because you still have future draft assets. You know, you've got elite players at the top of next year's draft, and you've got a Phoenix Suns pick that you think might end up being in that mix. You know, I don't think all hope is lost if he does struggle as a rookie, but I mean, it is important. Like, it'd be great if he hit and then you said, oh my gosh, we found our Jalen Williams and now we have a trio that positionally is better than what we had before, and this is awesome, and we have a team that can compete. Let's go try to do it. Like, that might be what eventually gets the team to finally go into over the first apron, right? Like, that might be what pushes them there, but I don't think that they were going to get there given how far away they seemed, despite the fact that they had 3 20-point scorers, you know? Yeah. So I think it's important, but in the end, I honestly think if you're trying to have hope for the window of the future, this is on Ja. Like, yep.
I agree with that.
This is his team. They put everything around him. You know, it's on him to
be accountable for your unavailability, right? I mean, that's the reality. It's like, if you're not available, that, you know, that's accountability on you now.
Yeah, no, and I don't have any questions about his talent level. Like, he can be a top 10 player in the league. Like, we've seen it. We saw it in 21-22, right? So if he gets back to that, we're going to be looking at the Grizzlies entirely differently than we are right now. But the truth is, because of the injuries, we haven't seen that. And the other off-the-court stuff, we haven't seen that for two seasons. So the Grizzlies still think it's possible, and that's why they're doing this. And in the end, if he can show that, then I think, again, we'll be saying the Grizzlies still have two really, really great players. Like, do they fit together? Yes. Okay, well, how do we get them to the next level in the postseason? What can we do at the trade deadline? You know, that sort of thing. But if it's a struggle again and he's not on the court and we get to the midway point of the season and it just feels like it's crumbling apart, like, it just leads you to a different, entirely different path and sort of different assumptions if you're one of the people making decisions there.
And then Drew, chances, and maybe this is something that's, you know, now we've passed it, where the Grizzlies, maybe because of the shift in how some things have occurred since the draft, maybe you can't, but you tell me. You know, I was reading Bobby Marks and who recently wrote that Denver, a team like them, should go after a guy like Luke Kornet, who the Celtics aren't going to be able to keep. And he said, use the, you know, the tax mid-level, you know, 2 years, $11.7 million contract, do something like that to get a Luke. And that's a name we had thrown around even here on the show. Is getting a guy like that, or a Luke Kornet, is the demand going to be too high for a guy like him? Is that still possible? What do you think of sort of adding a veteran center, the chances that you could get one at the price you want?
Yeah, no, I think that there's a chance, and I think that the Grizzlies should be interested. De'Ron Sharpe, I think, while I was on the show right now just a minute ago, I think he just agreed to a new deal with the Nets.
2 years, $12 million. Yep.
Yeah, so there goes one player that you probably wondered, and that would have fit in your room exception, right, that you will have. So that's a little bit of a bummer. I do think that they need to go out and add center depth, and I suspect that they'll do something. Like, if we're trying to now recalibrate and say what we think the Grizzlies are going to do, like, I expect they're going to get something done with Jaren. It's been too talked about, you know? It's been going on for a while. Like, you think something like that's going to get done. Santi, they made it very clear they want him in Memphis. They want to hang on to him. I suppose there's the chance some absurd price gets thrown out there, but I think that's probably going to get done. I would guess that, you know, they'll find a way to get him back. And then you're going to use that room exception, and that gives you 8.8, and it's like, can you go add a big? And the list is now shrinking. I don't know if Kornet's going to sign for in that 8.8 million range, but that's essentially where things stand right now. And the other thing is, like, can you get that sorted out with any type of Cole Anthony trade too? Like, right. Can you get something coming back that you know is going to help you with your front court depth, especially while Edie is out? I don't know. I'm losing confidence that a Cole Anthony trade is going to get done because I thought maybe it would happen around the draft, and it seems like it's the market isn't huge for that type of player. So I don't know, but I think that they'll have to do something. They're going to have to bring in some sort of front court help, and I would expect that they're probably going to try to use their room exception to make that possible. And then you can always add vet minimums at the end. I wonder what Marvin Bagley's going to ask for in free agency. Like, will he give you a really cheap deal to come back just because he wants another chance and he likes being here? Maybe that might help a little bit, but still, it feels like the Grizzlies are definitely missing a piece. And so I would keep my eye out on that. I'd keep my eye out on Santi coming back. And I would definitely keep my eye out on a Jaren extension. I don't think we will know when those things are going to come and what order, but I would suspect at some point all three will happen.
Drew, you're the best, man. Thank you for doing this, as always.
Yep, thanks, guys.
Yes, sir. He is Drew Hill. Covers the Grizzlies, does it well for the Daily Memphian, breaking it all down. Interesting summer, no question about that. We had a big trade in the NFL, a blockbuster summer saying.
Yes, we did.
Involving the Pittsburgh Steelers. They've been busy. They've been active, man, this offseason. So we'll discuss that and more. Stick around. Jason DeJohn, 90.9 FM, ESPN.